we are living in extremely exciting times. There are lots of new opportunities to be part of the solution, not to be part of the problem.
This is Juho Partanen from Finland. He's talking about decarbonizing the car industry, a sector he has a lot of experience with.
When we think about this transition, it doesn't happen within the automotive industry as such alone. It requires the decarbonization of many other sectors, which means that by mixing different kind of companies, new mixing of different kind of sectors, and always from international perspective, we create new technological opportunities, new business model opportunities, and new ways to do innovations.
Juho hits the nail on the head when describing what must be done to decarbonize the world's production, not just for cars, but for all production. The thing is, the decarbonization of any manufacturing industry cannot be isolated to the factory alone. Every industry is tangled up in a long and often global supply chain. That's why we need to think across sectors if we want to reach the goals of the Paris Agreement to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions by 45% before 2030 and reach net zero by 2050. In other words, everything matters. The way we manufacture our products, what energy sources we use, how we transport the goods, and even how we package them. In this episode, we dive into several sectors: the automotive and packaging industry, the textile industries, as well as manufacturing in general. We take the temperature on new EU regulations and their potential effect on production inside and outside of Europe, and we look at new ideas and solutions from both the Nordics and Turkey, which has a considerable manufacturing sector. I'm Josefine Folkvarts, and you're listening to the Nordic Talks podcast.
So what we see, for instance, today in Finland, but across the Nordics in more generally, is a revolution where we have more battery production, more raw material production for different kind of battery chemistries, new, let's say, energy vectors such as green hydrogen, and then a combination of green hydrogen with CO2 and other, let's say, emissions to form e-fuels. So basically one thing which is driving forward this transition is an energy transition. So it's not only automotive industry, but it's, for instance, automotive industry combined with energy industry. And if we look at the, let's say, both the automotive sector, but also new energies in generally, so offshore, onshore wind turbines, photovoltaic energy, these are all extremely raw material intensive. So it has been predicted that, for instance, in Europe by year 2050, the demand for alloys like copper would go up to 50x versus the current consumption. And what it means is that to match those kind of levels, it requires both substantially more virgin raw materials like copper, nickel, etc., but also the secondary sources. And that's a very critical thing because, as we have seen over the last years, for instance, automotive industry is already investing directly to the mines and to the circular economy solutions.
Juho is program director at Jyväskylä University School of Economics in Finland. His point that it all starts with the energy sector is put forward at a Nordic Talks event in Turkey, arranged by the Nordic Missions in Turkey together with Business Finland and Business Sweden. And Juho's remarks resonate in the conference room at the Istanbul Chamber of Commerce, as well as among the other speakers at the event.
I think we have to prioritize in terms of what are we going to do first. Definitely decarbonization.
This is Tor Dahle. He is head of sustainability at Virke, the Federation of Norwegian Enterprises. And he explains what he thinks the textile industry should do.
Some of the topics that I think are we have to prioritize in addressing the challenges we have to solve is the decarbonization, as you mentioned, that is extremely important. And I think one of the lowest hanging fruits that we have to look into is energy optimization. We have to look into energy in the same principles as we do for circularity, in terms of heat pumps, to use water, discarded water that has a good temperature for heat pumps, for instance, use of solar energy. A lot of technologies has to be combined to achieve energy optimization.
Tord is talking about low-hanging fruit because the textile industry is facing strict new targets from the EU to reduce its carbon footprint. And even though Norway is not a member of the EU, unlike other Nordic countries such as Denmark, Sweden and Finland, the country must still follow European regulations as a member of the European Economic Area. The regulations stem from the European Green Deal, which means that the EU should be able to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% by 2030. This will help Europe become the first climate-neutral continent by 2050. All parts of society and every sector of the economy will play a role, from the energy sector to transport, construction, agriculture, forestry and industry. And this is equally true for the textile industry, which must comply with several new regulations.
In the eco-design regulation, EU says that they will develop horizontal requirements for all products. The requirements can be how much reused, recycled materials you will use in textiles. It can be energy performance. It will definitely be labeling. There is own textile labeling regulations where they will toughen the regulations on what information should be in the consumer and towards the consumers on the both the where are the textiles produced, what are the materials, how should they be treated, and how, what are the possibilities for recycling. And then you have the Waste Framework Directive. As you know, the European Union will start an extended producer responsibility for textiles, meaning that all textile waste should be separately collected for material, for recycling.
But taking all these measures is not easy and can be expensive. That's why many sectors, not just the textile industry, are investigating how to get on the right track in an affordable way.
If I look into the retail industry and fast-moving consumer goods, they have the saying that short-term is Tuesday, long-term is Saturday. So to cooperate with companies and to have them make plans for a longer perspective, that is a challenge when you have margins from 3 to 5%. Then you're going to invest in the value chain. Prices globally are rising on raw materials. And some of these technology are quite costly. So where do you find the money? How do you make the transition in the markets? I'm not sure if I have all the answers, but I think a lot of we have to start by prioritizing and attack more of the low-hanging fruits like energy optimization.
One way to reduce the carbon footprint of production is through recycling. But there's still a long way to go within the European textile industry.
In Europe, there are very little capabilities within textile recycling, material to material. And the few plants that are started are very costly to run. So how to solve this? That's critical. And we don't have textile production. We do not produce yarn. We do not do weaving. So we will be, to solve these issues, we will be dependent on countries like Turkey that have the competence and the knowledge and the industry to get it in industrial scale.
Turkey, where the talk is taking place, is not an EU member. The country has a huge cotton production, used for clothes, then exported to the EU, and that's the thing. EU countries consume a lot of textiles, but most of them are produced elsewhere in the world.
80% of primary raw materials are sourced outside EU. I know that, Turkey is one of the largest global suppliers of cotton. I think you're number 6. 88% of water is outside EU, 93% of land use, 73% of greenhouse gas emissions. So in order to achieve circularity, it's not enough to just think EU or a single country. We need to think global value change. Circular economy has to go from national discussions to global value change.
In other words, we have to look at the problem globally if we want to decarbonize textile production. Let's say that manufacturers of a given product increasingly manage to decarbonize their production by quite a bit. you still have another worldwide problem to deal with.
In today's world, more goods are being packed, and therefore we expect that packaging should be more durable and sustainable, which is increasing the sustainable packaging demand all over the world.
This is Eda Özikünce, who's also participating in today's talk. She's from Turkey and a sales manager at Billerud, which is a Swedish company producing exactly what she's talking about. Packaging. Not just packaging for the textile industry, but also for other industries, including the medical and the food industry.
Sustainability requirements are becoming more and more stricter. We feel it till our bones. And that's main reason is to support the climate change. Change on every front. So more solutions need to be renewable or circular.
This trend has meant an increasing interest in Billerud's concept.
We are uniquely positioned in supplying sustainable packaging from forestry to the end product. Our raw material is 100% of food raw material is from responsible sources. Our production mainly running over fossil-free energy. In 2022, we can see that 98% of our energy in our meals is coming from renewable bioenergy. And paper is one of the most recycled packaging material. In Europe, it's 84% of packaging paper packaging is recycled, according to CEPI. And we are very confident in Billerud to say that almost all our products are biodegradable, and as well, which means that they are breaking down into when you throw it on the nature, which means that they are creating low littering potential.
One of Billerud's goals is to encourage us to replace our single-use plastic packaging with a paper alternative.
When we're talking about future innovation project, we mean that new barrier papers to replace plastic. New reusable applications, application laboratories where we can create design first, and we also create prototyping for these end products. Minimizing the waste, for us, it's more lightweightening material compared to other conventional alternatives, reducing overpackaging, avoiding secondary packs as well. In Billerud, we basically believe that no packaging shall end up in the nature. And this is also nice to see that 75% of the consumers also want to get rid of the plastic, single-use plastic. This is already proven with the surveys.
A lot of work is being done within the big sectors, across industries, and even along the global value chain. But it gets somehow more difficult when we talk about small and medium-sized businesses. The so-called SMEs. That's at least the experience of Hande Beirek, who is Project Management Director at MEX Technology Center and MESS, the Turkish Employers Association of Metal Industries. She works with the Danish Confederation of Industries on advising Turkish companies on decarbonization.
So far, I think we provided services to more than 400 companies in Turkey, either by upskilling programs, assessments, or technical consultancies. And I can say one of the key challenges we faced and encountered during these services, most of the manufacturing companies, especially SMEs, lack fundamental awareness on sustainability and how to decarbonize their processes. Even if they have some sort of awareness, they really need very structured assistance to move forward in their sustainability journey. Actually, our joint project with Danish Industry DI addresses that challenge by providing 100 companies in Turkey, manufacturing companies in Turkey, with a created sustainability training program and also a carbon calculation platform.
Hande is working at two different levels with the manufacturing industry.
We basically have two goals, and the first one is to enhance awareness among the manufacturing industry and create a sense of urgency. As you all mentioned, regulations are very tight and they're coming up very, very shortly. So the sense of urgency is needed. The second goal is to enhance the knowledge, carbon accounting knowledge level within the manufacturing and industry.
This is of concrete use to Turkish companies. But on top of that, something even more general must change in the country. Here's Eda from Billerud.
We are slightly behind, not only behind on the Western countries, not basically from the technology-wise or capabilities-wise. We have that. But we have a lack of mindset, know-how, and prioritization on that. And also the legislative landscape is not really supporting companies, consumers, and all parties on the packaging world. From the Turkey perspective, I should really say that we need developments on the legislation, recycling, and as well labeling infrastructure. These are the keys that we have to drive. We have to check to drive the potentials in the right and harmonized way with the European countries as well. I would really mention on the EPR SHEMS, for example, for packaging, which is known as recycling fees in Europe. And this is a basic regulation, so to say, and it's based on all materials, but on the focus, it's plastic. So it is giving brand owners to act more efficiently and motivating them to change their packaging type. But as we are not a part of EU, that's also a gap in our country. I think the other part is the mindset and awareness, and of course the prioritization of the shareholders of Turkey. These are more a local challenge for our country. Sustainability is a lifestyle. We can see that in the very Nordic countries. And I think it needs some awareness on the consumer side as well. It's very important to start that kind of thinking from the elementary school, maybe.
There's no doubt that all sustainability initiatives have to start with awareness and knowledge. But what if change is expensive, as Tord mentioned earlier? Here's Juho.
Part of this kind of, let's say, green transition, whether it's a CO2-driven or methane-driven or biodiversity-driven, is that it needs to be also economically sustainable. So while we do good, we also need to do economically good.
Tor very much agrees.
The key element of sustainability that is often forgotten is that it's also economic sustainability. If it's not economically sustainable, it's not sustainability. People tend to forget that the change that was made from the Rio conference at the start of the 90s was that the economic perspective and development was integrated to the understanding of sustainability. And we have to take that into consideration. I think a lot of the environmental movement and others, they do their job in terms of raising problems, but often they forget that if you don't make money, you can't invest in new energy sources.
But according to Eda, we need companies to drive decarbonization initiatives because they see themselves playing a part in a greater mission.
We want to drive a sustainable transition along our whole value chain, which means that it's from forestry till the end of the product. With a stable sustainability foundation at the base, we can contribute to the transition to climate-neutral society. That's why we are working for.
And when we talk about extended value chains, it means seeing decarbonization in a global perspective. Tor sums it up.
I think we're doing one thing wrong in Norway and the European Union is that we discuss circularity just within the borders of EU or the country or the Nordics. And we have to start inviting in the global value chain and make transition pathways that are global or cross-country. I mean, Turkey will be so important for the transition in the textile industry, both for the retailers in Norway and on the European market. And we have to find this meeting ground, which is not a conference, not necessarily, but a table to sit around and discuss, map the barriers and start solving them one by one. And I think we have to do that in order to accelerate the transition.
So, we need to view the whole value chain globally. And as Juho and Tor mentioned in the beginning, it's essential to work across sectors to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions of the manufacturing industries. Luckily, as we've heard, there are many supporting efforts being implemented at the moment. In the automotive and textile industries, in the packaging industry and manufacturing in general. Just as there are great initiatives to increase knowledge among smaller companies wanting to reduce emissions. We must all work together to reach the goals of the Paris Agreement. And in this struggle, decarbonizing our production is an essential contribution. I'm Josefine Volkwartz. Thank you for listening to the Nordic Talks podcast. Be sure to follow Nordic Talks on Instagram at nordic.talks and find more information on upcoming events, new podcast episodes, and much more.